The following teleconference is recorded for Andrew LaPlante with Florida Atlantic University Board of Trustees on Wednesday, May 14, 2014, beginning at 12:30 p.m. Central Time.
Duel.
Hello, Trustee Mulberry.
Hello.
Anyone else on the line?
Well, cool, Andrew. What's going on, man?
Yeah. I've been working on my golf game after work for you.
Good, good, good. I hope, don't want you to set your expectations too high. You're not going to beat me. But
yes,
I do want you to be competitive. who's your fourth? Who did you get as your fourth?
I think we have Lil, our administrative assistant here.
Nice.
Abdul, did you win on Friday?
No, I didn't. But, I made the mistake, you know, when I was publicizing the tournament, I told everyone to stack their teams, and there were so many PGA professionals on that golf course that day. It was ridiculous. And look, and I had one too, so I'm not, you know, but some of the teams had two. So it was,
hey, Abdul, you can't win them all the time, you know.
I know, but I can dream.
You know. By the way, is that the FAU tournament you're talking about?
Yeah, FAU tournament's tomorrow, but last Friday was the St. Andrews tournament.
How come we didn't we're not publicized? I haven't seen
it's
anything.
It's sold out, buddy. It's sold out.
Yeah, but I'm surprised.
It was publicized like I sent. Hey, Mr. Fader, I sent a message to every single board member.
Yeah, but you're not an employee. It should come from the university. I know you're a highly paid employee, but it should. I just didn't see anything official.
We got some stuff from Athletic.
Yeah, there's stuff out there.
Is it tomorrow? Because I'll stop up. I mean, is it tomorrow?
Yeah, it's tomorrow at noon.
Okay, I'll talk to Andrew then. Okay, what's the time?
It's tee times at 1 o'clock, show-up times at noon,
okay.
And I'll be taking my trophy around 5:30.
Well, that one you usually walk away with. Yeah, that one you usually walk away. Okay.
Yeah, well, we've won for the last, my team's won for the same team for the last 4 years. But, you know, just because.
I'm going, you know, the fifth year you get to keep the trophy.
Yeah. I don't think we've ever gotten a trophy. They give us $50.
Yeah.
$50, nice.
Which means you got to go buy a $100 shirt in the pro shop as a gift certificate. You got to go spend $100 to get a shirt. So Donald makes out.
Well, trust me, he doesn't make out a lot. Okay.
Okay. Well, I take your word for it. So the Blue Monster kicked my butt about 2 weeks ago, Dave.
Good. Yeah, everyone really enjoys it. I mean, it's.
You
play that 18th hole. If you're playing from the, would you play from the blue tees?
We played from not the back, but the
no,
second.
Not back. But
the is it gold? Is it black,
well,
gold,
that's,
blue?
That's
we
a
played
tough test. Yeah, that's. A
oh my God, it's ridiculous.
Yeah, blues are even a lot of people just play from the whites. I mean, a lot of you play from the blues because that's a tough test with the wind. That 18th hole is like a par 5 for the average.
Yeah.
You know, for us.
Yeah. Well, there was a par 3 that was 240 yards.
Yeah.
All right, is there any other trustees on the line?
I'm on the line. It's Bob Rubin.
Okay. I have Trustee Mulberry, Trustee Rubin, Trustee Fader, anybody else? Is there any media on the line? All right, Trustee Mulberry, we are ready when you are.
Okay. I'm calling to order the Strategic Planning Committee. Andrew, would you call roll? Or did you already do that?
No, I'm doing it right now.
Oh, okay.
Trustee Mulberry?
Here.
Trustee Rubin?
Here.
Trustee Barber?
Here.
Trustee Kane? Trustee Cepeda? Trustee Fader?
Here.
Trustee Feingold? Trustee Workman? Trustee McDonald? Trustee Nyan?
Here.
Trustee Stilley? Trustee Tanner? Trustee Teske? Chair Mulberry, we have a quorum.
Thank you. Dr. Perry, I assume you're in the room there?
I am indeed, Trustee.
Great, I'm going to turn it right over to you, sir. and
okay.
Ask you to walk us through the documents you sent over.
Okay, will do. As much as I prefer to spend the next 10 minutes telling you about my last experience on the old blue monster, I guess we better deal with the work plan. We can talk about that another time. So the purpose of today's meeting, as you're well aware, is a meeting of the Strategic Planning Committee of our Board of Trustees. We need to approve the current work plan, or the work plan that will be put in forward from the university to the Board of Governors, and that is due on Friday, May 16th. The purpose today is to present this to the Strategic Planning Committee, hopefully get your vote of approval so that we can then at least send this up to the Board of Governors staff on Friday, the 16th, when it's due, with approval pending by our full board. The full board meeting, as you're aware, it doesn't occur until next week, until May 20th. So this is, you know, 4 days after the time at which the Board of Governors would like it submitted, a final version submitted to them. We're not the only university struggling, and or not struggling, but you know, trying to get this plan put together to send up on the 16th. Other boards of trustees also haven't yet met to approve these. So what I would like to do, you've all received a copy, it was the penultimate draft of the copy of the work plan. We've got a few more changes to the plan. I will explain those as we go through, because we've still been back and forth with the Board of Trustees, with the Board of Governors staff, but they're just really minor changes. So the plan, as you know, there's a description, a text part of the plan that talks about our mission and vision statement, strategy, strengths, opportunities, key initiatives, and I will very quickly go through those. You've been able to read them. You've heard me talk about these sorts of strategies and initiatives over the last several Board of Trustees meetings, but just to recap what we're presenting here. You know, it was our opinion in the Division of Academic Affairs, myself and my staff there, that this particular work plan needed to address what it is that Florida Atlantic University will do to address student success. And so we have put the emphasis to some extent on student success. We've been talking about that over the last several months. The text that we put in here, our description, has been reviewed by the bulk staff and essentially tacitly approved by them. They found what we have written here very appropriate, and it was well received in Tallahassee. So what we've done, I think, is very much what they're expecting President Kelly to present to them on June 16th, when we go to Orlando to meet with the Board of Governors and present the work plan. So clearly some of our strengths and opportunities, our demographics, our diversity, our community engagement, working with great institutes like Max Planck and Scripps, Torrey Pines, these are some of the strengths that we have, our location here in Southeast Florida. Looking further down page 5 now, key initiatives. We open up with student success, and here under these key initiatives and investments, we've just given examples of some of the things we're doing. Rather than give the litany of what we intend to do, we would like to just give the Board of Governors in this particular document a taste of what we've been up to this past year and what we'll be up to next year. First, to address student success. And again, I've been through those. I don't know that I need to go through them. Advising and career exploration has been an emphasis of ours and will be in the coming year. Identifying and removing barriers to graduation, such as class scheduling, evaluation of transfer credits from students from other institutions. This is something that we have not done very well in the past. We are changing that. Student engagement. Clearly, we are making hay here with the success we had with our accreditation, and now our undergraduate research project that we have, the QEP, or Distinction Through Discovery. So as I said, I'm just skipping through these. If anybody has a question about any of it, please just interrupt me and I can, and I'll answer. The second aspect of this was our sustainable research.
Gary, let me
go ahead.
Interrupt you there. On the student success, this is more a point of concern. Given the number of investments that you've outlined, especially the 26 new advisors that we're going to hire, I was curious as to what the impact of the withholding of $7 million based on the performance measurement, how that's going to impact on those strategies or those investment strategies, and if it's not going to affect those strategies, what other areas might we be concerned about in order to make up for that money that's
being withheld? Well, at first, I think the good news is it's withheld. It is not taken away, so we will have an opportunity to get some of that money back, if not all of it. I'll address that as I answer this question. The 26 additional advisors, we have done in the past year an analysis of the advising structure and how we advise our students here at Florida Atlantic University. So working with our Division of Undergraduate Studies, Dean Ed Pratt and Joe Murray, the new head of our university-wide advising services, we've looked at analysis of what advising, how many more advisors we would need centrally, how many more we would need out in the colleges, and we have a plan to do that. It called for an additional 26 advisors. That, if we hire 26 advisors with our current enrollment, that would bring us down to what is a nationally accepted best practice by NACADA, the society that deals with this, of just under 300 students to one advisor. That's nationally accepted as best practice. So hiring the 26 advisors would do that. That will cost us approximately $1.6 million, which, as you know, is about the amount of the performance funding that we received last year because we did quite well in two out of the three performance metrics last year. That money is here. It's arrived, as far as I know, from Ms. Russell. However, that money has been put back into play as far as performance funding. So as I think we're all well aware, under the current performance funding and the metrics, we will lose approximately $5.3 million, or it will be withheld, from our budget. Included in that now is the $1.7 million that we received last year. Even though that has been given to us into our base budget and will go forward, it's still back into play, so that's the $7 million that we're talking about. In working closely with Dorothy Russell, we've made a decision that we need to go ahead and hire these advisors. I think one of the best things that we can do in order to improve our student success is increase the amount of time that we touch our students, if you will, that we engage our students, and this can be done initially through advisors. Part of that is to put the students on a good, we're now using the term flight plan, of how they will progress through their degree program in a timely fashion. We believe that's very much, the purview of advisors. So the advisors, if we can reduce the number to 300 students to one, will have the time to be interactive. So we call this interactive or intrusive advising, continual advising of our students. And if a advisor has the flight plan, in other words, the study plan of the student sitting in front of them, and each semester, for some reason, we're looking at advising software that we're about to purchase, if that student goes off the flight plan, then that will trigger a phone call from the advisor. Why have you decided this semester to only do 12 credits instead of 15? Is there a problem? Can we help you? What can we do? Now, in some cases, the answer will probably be we can help them. In some cases, may not. But at least we can have a much more hands-on approach to our students and bring them through. So with Dorothy Russell's help, we have identified the $1.7 million, and I met with the Division of Undergraduate Studies just last week, Dean Ed Pratt and the advisors, and we are now activating our plan for advising. Part of the good news, as far as that goes, is we don't know yet what is going to be required of us in order to keep the $7 million that we're about to have withheld. I've had too, and I had a very good conversation with Jan Ignash yesterday, who is the Chancellor of the State University System, basically saying, you know, Jan, I'm about to meet with the Board of Trustees tomorrow. What are we going to have to do to recover our $7 million? And, of course, I'm not the first provost to call Jan about 5 minutes before. Steve Miles from New College, who are also in the penalty box, that just got off the phone with Jan. And we're all doing the same thing. Career revising, so that our flight plan will include not only bringing students in, but at the end of that flight plan, they have a job. Okay, that's the total, you know, the total flight plan, that they leave here with a job. The other thing is advising. Most people, you know, are using this metric are understaffed as far as advisors goes, and Steve Miles is the provost at New College, where you would expect them to have a much better ratio to advising, but they don't, and I've talked to Provost Miles about that in the past. So if we had in our plan as we go forward that we'll be expected, that President Kelly will be expected to present also in June, but one of our metrics was to hire 26 advisors. We're going to hire 15 of them by January 1st and the other 11 by May 1st. Then that would be a metric we would meet that would entitle us to begin to recover some money. So if that's the sort of plan and metric that the Board of Governors is going to give us, then fine. I think we are set up well to meet some of these metrics. But at this point, we don't know what that plan looks like. And we've tried to, as I said, yesterday I made a final call to Jan to try to understand what the plan looked like, and quite honestly, they're still being a little evasive about what it will actually look like. You know, from my point of view, the simplest thing for the Board of Trustees, the Board of Governors to do would take our work plan and say, you get projections in the work plan, meet these projections and you'll get your money back. But it's just unclear at this time where we are in doing that. So we're going to go ahead with the advisors. I think some of the other initiatives that we have going on might be less cost-effective, less costly, and so will not be terribly impacted by the withholding of the funds. I think one of the things that we as a university will have to decide is if money is withheld this year, what programs, what is it that we're going to withhold that funding from? And I think that will be a discussion with the President, the Board, and Dorothy. You know, we have a fairly aggressive faculty hiring program at the moment, and maybe we need to, you know, slow that down until we know we have ongoing funds back in the budget for next year. So without, I know that's a long-winded answer, but I really wanted to get to also this point that I'm very confident, having spoken with Jan Ignash yesterday, that we will have a plan to recover the $7 million. Now, no guarantees in life, right? But I'm very confident about that. So just moving on to page 7, sustainable research. Again, as we're all well aware, our current strategic plan calls for 3 signature themes. As many of you already know, we are starting to revisit the strategic plan. We had a very good meeting on Monday with the President, and to begin to refine what might these signature themes truly represent as we go forward. What will become the pillars within the university that can take us to national prominence? So again, just briefly to give some examples of some of the things that we're doing, we have good relationships with our colleagues in Jupiter at Max Planck and Scripps. We've initiated a rather unique graduate program with Max Planck, the Integrative Biology and Neuroscience graduate program. You know, working with other world-class facilities, we have our Harbor Branch Oceanographic. We will extend and are working with the folks up there. We're about to put a master's degree into the program up there in order to help them grow not only their graduate program there but also their research. We have our, you know, as you know, we have the Southeast National Marine Renewable Energy Center. Perhaps I should leave it to the President to announce that he just signed a lease agreement with BOEM, which will be the first of its kind in the Atlantic Ocean and off the continental shelf. You know, we've agreed with that, we would reinvest in seed tech to really maximize our opportunities with the Navy, particularly the Office of Naval Research. There's already quite a bit of R&R funding at seed tech, but it's not as much as we have had in the past, and we believe that we can make hay with that to increase research funding. Van Hip, who is one of our government relations people that the President Kelly has brought to the university, we've been working with Van Hip, and John might want to chime in at some point, but he's very optimistic about some of the work that we can do with R&R out of SeaTech with the Ocean Energy Renewal Project. One of the other areas that you've heard about in the past as just an example, I think as we go forward, it will be another one of these pillars, is the Healthy Aging Project that we had ongoing that was funded actually internally about 3 years ago, and I think is an area that we can expand in the future regarding becoming one of those pillars of excellence that will drive us to national prominence, you know, particularly given the demographics and the population we have here in South Florida. I'm already spending longer on this than I expected. Sorry, Trustee Mowbray, I know I said I'd be brief. Public-private relationships, you can read this. I think what is important here is that we have explained our new GME program, so the graduate medical education. We, you know, Dean Borkman and the medical school have developed a somewhat unique consortium among hospitals to provide graduate medical education for us. We have now been approved for our first program, residency program in internal medicine. Surgery is in the pipeline, and there are a number of other programs that will be coming forward with our partners in this consortium. The reason for really emphasizing this in the work plan is that last year, when this was raised, this was one area that we were criticized on. You know, when the question was asked, you know, how well are we working with our area hospitals, the answer that the Board of Governors received was not received very well. So this is why we've talked about this time, and indeed the BOG staff were happy to see that we talked about this. Another good example of public-private relationships is, as you may be aware, we've received just over $1 million in legislative funding to initiate our Tech Runway project. Again, this is a project that is basically modeled on MIT's Venturing Service, and it's an extension of what is a very, very, probably one of the country's most successful business plan competition, certainly in the Southeast, to take some of these business and incubate them in-house, essentially, over in a building that we purchased close to the research park. So those were just some examples to give to the Board of Governors of what we're doing. If we move on to the actual numbers and the metrics, so on page 9, we look at the performance funding metrics. And I won't go, it's not my intention to go through this line by line. You'll be happy to hear. But what I want to highlight...
We appreciate that.
Thank you, Trustee. I heard you on the phone the other day when we talked about the meeting. We'll just jump straight down to those two metrics where we got 0 points, where we did not do at all well, and that were really the reason why we went under 26 points total, and we're in the penalty box where we are now. And that's the FTIC six-year graduation rate, and also the academic progress rate, or the retention first, second year. So with the FTIC six-year graduation rate, you can see that we are projecting an increase over the coming years, over the current year. Last year we were looking at 40%, so that's what was presented as an estimate last year. This year we are estimating, now these are estimates, and we're thinking we're looking at 43% graduation rate, FTIC graduation rate. So an increase of 3% there is what? Well, it's about 75 students. So one percentage point here with our current enrollment of FTICs, okay, 1% is about equivalent to 25 students. So to move this needle, next year we're projecting 45, so that will be an additional 50 students, and then we go back to 75, and by 2016-17, we hope to have moved this needle to 48%, which is about an additional 200 students. You know, I believe we can do this, given the strategies that we intend to put in place. I think these are reasonable estimates. We have looked at these numbers, as you can imagine, very hard in the provost's office, and we're very comfortable with this projection. As President Kelly will tell you, to move this needle 5 points is going to be a heck of a task, but we'll stretch.
Dr. Perry, did you ever, I know I only asked you yesterday, but did you ever do the math on how many students represents 1%?
Sorry, Trustee Murray, yeah, about 25 students.
Okay.
So to move it from 40%...
Dr. Perry, hold on a minute. Dr. Perry, hold on a minute, okay?
Yep.
Dr. Feingold. Anyhow, I want to go back to a couple of things on the pages you covered before, but while we're on this subject here of graduation rate and academic progress, number one, 57% of the students are not graduating on time.
Correct.
And that's 6 years. I've been on this board 4.5 years, and I've heard the same story. Nothing has changed my view that the admissions process at FAU is flawed. I've not seen a work plan, an admissions officer come before this board or present a program where we're accepting students that are college ready and will be ready to graduate in 4 years, much less 6 years. I've not seen a program that says certain high school students are coming into our school that better off serve going to Palm Beach College or Broward College, and they're not college ready. So regardless of what you do, if the students are not ready for FAU, they're not going to graduate on time, nor are they going to finish the first year of college. And so all this money with advising $1.8 million to hire 20 people, if the faculty itself, who's currently there, are not properly advising their students, and I don't know how many faculty members that we have advising students, and what their role is in advising students either. So our admissions process is broken. Our advising process is broken. Although you're hiring more people, you have faculty members. I want to know each one how many are actually advising students and how much time they're really allocating towards that. When are they initiating the advising program when a student comes into college? How long the road are they coming? First week in college, second week in college, 2 months into the semester? All of these metrics I have not seen. All I hear is, this is what we're going to do. We're going to hire a bunch of people, buy some software off the shelf, and we're going to change the world. If you don't change the admissions process and have a more selective student body, you could have 1 million advisors, but they're not going to pass first year of college at FAU. And our admissions standards are below University of Florida and FSU. So if we're not addressing the admissions process, you're not going to change the metrics going forward. And if you don't have every faculty member assigned from full staff, part-time staff, advising these students with training of their own, you're not going to change any of this in a significant manner. To have 57% not graduate from this school means that we're wasting teaching resources in the wrong direction. And to say that we're going to maybe be graduating a retention of 75% in 2016 and 17 is a dream. So if I was on the Board of Governors and I was sitting in the governor's office, I'd say, what have you changed except to hire a bunch of people? The change has to be in the admissions process. Totally. I've told you this for 4 years now, and I've seen nothing change.
Dr. Feingold, you and I have had these discussions, and you're absolutely on point. that in order to improve our graduation rate with our FTICs and our retention rate, we need to admit better students. That is a plan that is currently being discussed with our admissions folks. You may remember a presentation to the Board of Trustees, I think it was the meeting before last, that our consultant, Dr. John Wiesenfeld, provided to the board that very clearly showed exactly what you were saying, that if we're going to improve FTIC graduation and retention, the most important input parameter to that is the SAT, the ACT, and we need to increase our requirements. Having said that, if we do that on the population of students that we pull from in Palm Beach County and Broward County, we will probably see a smaller FTIC class in the beginning, only in the beginning. And we will probably then need to make up the revenue loss that we will have there, and I can see Ms. Russell smarting. We will need to make up the revenue loss there probably with our transfer students. We are looking at strategies that each and every other state university has put in place, particularly UF and FSU that you refer to, and that is deferring admission of some of our more higher-risk students to the spring. If we do that, they do not then count in the FTIC six-year graduation rate, but they still come here, take classes, and generate tuition that we need. So you're absolutely correct. I think that is something we as a university, and I think we will be discussing this summer with the, and we're talking about this right now because we have to be making these decisions in academic affairs now on who we're going to admit in the fall and what sort of a students are we admitting in the fall. Last year we were a little late to the game on that, quite frankly, just because of the change in administration. But that is exactly what we're looking at, is what are the input parameters that we need to change in order to get the output, in other words, the increase the FTIC graduation rate and the retention rate in the next few years.
Right, but the thing is, if you're in a hiring binge right now, and I don't know how many slots you allocated to faculty members to be hired, with I don't know who you're hiring, and I have not seen a real high, you know, people say we need this and that, but I think that the orientation should be not hiring willy-nilly, but hiring in the areas of what I call strategic growth. And I looked at this work plan, and I read it over multiple times, and my concern is if someone says to me, what does FAU stand for, I don't get a message that I want my own student to go there. You talk about neuroscience. Okay, so that's a couple people in Jupiter getting a PhD or a couple people getting a master's degree. I'm talking about water projects. Okay, so someone will get a master's degree in that program with turbines in the ocean. I don't see a core curriculum or a core identity that makes FAU stand out versus the other nine state schools. You're talking about a couple PhDs and a couple hires in neuroscience with Scripps and Mark Funkus. Scripps has their own PhD program.
Hey, Jeff, with all due respect, you know, you got FAU grads on the phone that are very successful and done very well from their FAU education. So please refrain from putting down the university, because the university has put out a lot of very successful people, including astronauts. And I don't know of any astronaut that went to the University of Florida. So please, Chair, Trustee.
The other thing is, remember that this work plan is not something that we generate. We fill in the blanks based on the Board of Governors. The Board of Governors sends us the template, and we just have to fill in the blanks.
It's not
our prerogative to be able to, you know, talk about what we're doing at our university.
I understand all that, but I'm saying to you, the work plan, and I understand the metrics because I talk to people in Tallahassee all the time about this. The issue is, if you're going to have a university with now a medical school, And that raises the temperature and the broadcast wavelength of FAU. We have a huge engineering school that's really making strides, and a business school. So if we have those things that are a nursing school that's desperate for more money because there's a wait list to get in, who's a world state, a national treasure. So we have all of those things. Those are the things that I think that we should be putting our money in to enhance those.
But if we don't hire advisors, then we have nobody watching the chicken coop. We got a whole bunch of students that come in, and we have too few advisors for too many students, and the situation is a student drops off, and nobody knows about it till they're gone. And then we have an APR problem.
Well, if you remember,
you said we shouldn't hire people. He just said we're going to hire advisors.
I didn't say hire, not hire, but hire quality people who know their job and know the mission of what we expect them to do.
We have to entrust Dr. Perry and Dr. Kelly and the rest of the staff to hire the right people. And if they don't, then we have one employee, that's Dr. Kelly, and we'll deal with him. But the reality of it is that we have to let them hire these people to monitor these and get that software, whether it's off the shelf or not. Everybody was really excited about it during the interviews Senator Lemieux, brought up that Arizona is running off this software. Now we're getting the software, and you're complaining about it.
No. I agree with all of those things. But if you're hiring someone to your company, you have to tell them what the mission of the university is and what the students who are applying to SAU want to come there for. Okay, so if you're highlighting a couple PhD programs, master's programs, we're talking about students who are graduating high school who are coming to college for the first time, some for the first time in their own family. And we have an obligation to them to have advisors and faculty members that buy into the mission of not graduating, but educating them in a role that's productive in society. And that's what I'm talking about.
But see, can we beat this horse to death? Can we move on? Thank you.
Yes.
Let me just say, Trustee Feingold, that I believe by the time of the Board of Trustees retreat, you will see a plan that will be coming from the university to do exactly what you're talking about.
Thank you.
So moving on, as I've said, these are the two real penalties, 0 point FTIC graduation rate. We believe we can change that needle. It may be by 16-17. We're pushing it, but we are going to put things in place. We are already putting strategies in place that I firmly believe that we can make that target. Similarly, the academic progress and retention rate. They're two sides of the same coin. It's the same sort of strategies that we will put in place that we believe will increase our retention and graduation rate. I was not going to discuss the rest of the metrics. We do fairly well on some of the rest of the metrics. As we know, we're top in the states as far as placing students with jobs or students graduating with jobs. We're also tied top in the state with the amount of salary, the average salary that the students paid. Awarding of degrees to minorities, we score 5 points. That was the metric that the Board of Trustees picked for us, and of course that we do extremely well in. So I would move on then to page 11 again. We're looking at the key performance indicators, and I would just say that, remember, hiring advisors, as we're doing here, we're looking at a current population of students, not the future population. We need to improve the graduation rates of our current population. So again, you can see here our FDIC rates, they're reiterated. We believe we can also move forward and move the needle on our four-year graduation rates. Are there any questions that I have on the metrics for page 11? Moving along, page 12, here we're looking at our return on investment. And one of the issues here that you've probably noticed is that we are reporting less total research expenditures. Now, at the last Board of Trustees meeting, you'll remember that John Newcomer, our interim vice president for research, was to present to you. I ended up presenting that. John was at an international meeting. And we talked there about the new rules and guidelines that are being provided by the National Science Foundation on what sorts of numbers, what can contribute to our research expenditures in science and engineering and then in all areas that can be a legitimate use of those numbers. And we took a write-down, and it's quite a considerable write-down, as you can see, because compounded on that write-down is really the period of the sequester that we were in, as well as, quite frankly, a real loss in funding. If you have questions on that, Dr. Newcomer is here, and between us we can certainly address those issues. But these numbers now reflect, if you will, the actual and real cash dollars that we are reporting now to the National Science Foundation in line with their new reporting guidelines for the science and engineering expenditures. And John, you would like to...
If I would just add one thing, Provost, it would be that while there was a write-down in this very specific metric that National Science Foundation requested, there has been very stable reporting of numbers from FAU to the BOG in this work plan over the past, I'm looking at the past 5 years, starting in fiscal year 2009, both in terms of our sponsored program expenditures, stable at around $40 million, and our sponsored federal research expenditures, stable at around that $24, $25 million. So there was a calculation that went down by a big bit, but you have to understand the fundamentals underneath that really reflect FAU weathering a terrible storm in terms of recession and in terms of decline in federal dollars, with really stable research expenditures throughout.
So, John, let me just make sure that, because if you go back over the last three work plans that we've put together, the number that we were projecting over the last 3 years for this year was around $65 million.
Yes.
And what we're actually looking at as an estimate is $22 million, about a third
Dr. Nyhan, this is a separate issue about the projection, future projection. So I think what President Kelly and the Provost and I all inherited was a plan that projected a doubling of research over some future years. Mm-hmm. I think that, you know, it's hard to go back in time, but perhaps at the time that plan was made with NIH dollars on the rise and really a huge investment that was being made by the federal government in both NIH and NSF funding, that may have been a very reasonable sort of projection. At this time, I don't think any rational university is making a projection to double their research awards or expenditures over these coming years. So what we've done is we've scaled this back to a modest anticipation of, you know, 4%, 5% growth each year. So we do anticipate growth, but it's not going to be the big guns of doubling that we had in the past.
And I certainly agree. I don't have a problem with that. I assume, however, because this is a year in which we're revising our strategic plan, that those changes will be reflected in the strategic plan as we move forward.
That's correct.
Okay, fine.
And I would just add to that I'm very hopeful. No, I'm not hopeful. I'm absolutely convinced that we're going to increase this research funding number. You know, we've just recently recruited some outstanding faculty who have come with faculty. And to speak to your question, Dr. Feingold, tomorrow we are interviewing just an outstanding scientist from the Medical University of South Carolina, who's a neuroscientist, it happens to be, but has a tremendous amount of funding, but is a nationally renowned neuroscientist. So this is the quality of people that we are recruiting now.
Dr. Newcomer, if I could ask you, how long have you been here?
18 months.
And what have you done in the past 18 months to increase, I mean, what concrete steps have you done in the last 18 months to increase the amount of our research dollars?
Yeah, so I've been in the role of the BPR for since January. But we just applied, you know, I think all the efforts start with oneself. So about a month ago, we sent out the door a $24 million NIH application that aims to increase the diversity of the doctoral workforce. I think we had successfully gotten funded for the planning grant. We were about 10 sites in the country got that, and we were one of them. And, you know, I think we're highly competitive for the application that we sent in. But as Provost Perry said, this is really about thinking very strategically about how can we best align the existing resources that we have with our most successful investigators, and then thinking very, very strategically about how to go out and find additional talent from outside the university so when we are going to make a hire, make sure that that hire really counts and helps us get points on the board in terms of these federal dollars.
That sounds good, speaking strategically like that, but I'm also thinking tactically, how would you describe the back office of the university in going after this big grant? I've heard issues that our tactical approach might not be up to par.
Yeah, I'm absolutely with you. I think this is, you know, there's two issues. One is, let's say you've got a grant, you're ready to send it out the door. There's a grants and contracts office that has to function efficiently. And I think that, speaking very frankly, there needs to be some significant upgrades and improvements in that area. In the last 4 months, I think we have started that process. Go ahead.
Sorry. We can talk about improving the numbers of grants, but from what I have discovered is there's some impediments in structurally in our structure in making that happen.
Yeah.
And that's a little disconcerting. So the point is to talk about all this is nice and it's good, but if we don't have the structure in place to allow that to happen, I mean, it would seem to me that you and your position, you've been there long enough that this needs to be fixed.
Yeah, like I said, I think that we are on the way to this fix, and we would not have been successful in getting a $24 million grant application out the door if we hadn't already made significant progress toward that fix. But there's more to do, and trust me, this is a top priority.
Well, we'd like to hear back on that because I definitely heard in that grant proposal that there was a lot of angst and there was a lot of pain that was unnecessary.
Trustee Rubin.
This is Bob Dilley. Just a couple questions, if I could. And a comment to start with. You know, I was chair when we came up with the idea that we wanted to double research over a five-year period. And I agree with you that the money was a lot more available out of the federal government at that time. However, even during the time that the money started to shrink up, USF and UCF continue to increase the research footprint substantially, and we did not. We were actually shrinking at the time, it appears now. My concern with a 4% per year goal is that just not enough. I mean, there's other ways than to get grants in order to increase that, and I think we've talked about that by hiring faculty, but if we continue 4% over the next 5 years, I mean, I don't know what the number is going to be, but it's going to be significantly short where we need to be as a university. And, you know, the thing that I've mentioned time and time again, there's going to be two types of universities in the state. There's going to be the research universities, and there's going to be the other universities. And, you know, I want FAU, and we deserve to be a major research institution. And at 4% a year, we're not going to get there.
I couldn't agree with you more. I think the issue in these kinds of projections, as Trustee Barber had said, you know, this is a template that we complete for the Board of Governors. We have to be very careful whether we're projecting, you know, numbers that we're going to hit. I think the goal is to project a conservative number and then beat yourself every time.
But aren't we also concerned, though, that the Board of Governors, and I don't disagree with what you're saying, and if this is just for something we definitely have to hit, I get that. But we also have to consider that the Board of Governors is going to look at this, and if they're starting to place universities in two categories, and they look at us and they go, well, these guys have said they're going to go 4% a year. That's going to put them, you know, somewhere around 50. You know, everybody else is substantial. You know, the other university is substantially over 100. You know, let's just go ahead and let FIU be the research institute down there. And we can't let that happen.
Well, trustees say, no, we can't let that happen. I don't think we'll let that happen. You're in discussion these numbers with Dr. Newcomer. As he said, I guess we've erred on the side of being conservative, hoping, maybe knowing full well, that we'll exceed the number. I think this is a strategy with the work plans. I think we're in that place where if we overestimate what we truly believe we can do, it comes back to us that, well, you haven't made your mark. And that concerns me as we go forward with performance funding. I know we're not judged on our research funding as far as the performance metrics are concerned, but it does concern me that if we're seen to be overreaching and not making our mark, what does that say about our planning process and our expectation? I agree with you. If, you know, we need to get up to $100 million in research funding as fast as we can, and we're dealing with an infrastructure, as we've said, that we are changing, hiring faculty, that I believe we can get there. Certainly, the purview of this board or of this committee at this point, if you would prefer us to change the numbers, we can do so. That was something for our discussion today.
Yeah, my encouragement, I guess, would be let's get our strategic plan and our initiatives and see what our real target is likely to be. And it may be that we're at 100 million. If we've got the resources to put the talent in mm-hmm. into the right program areas, we should be able to hit that number.
I mean, I would much prefer to go in with next year's work plan. We have a new president. We've made all these changes. We are increasing our expectations of the university and change these numbers next year to reflect, you know, a much more positive outlook on what we believe the research funding will be at Florida Atlantic University. But that's my recommendation that certainly you don't have to take.
But just from a procedure standpoint, remember, trustees, that we do submit this plan every year, and
yes,
the numbers for each of the out years can be revised every year. So we'll submit a plan for 2014-15 that will show our actual. We can change then the 15-16 projection, the 16-17 projection. And if we were able to put together revisions to our strategic plan internally that would be able to show how we are going to achieve greater growth, then we can certainly make those changes next year, and we would have probably more credibility with the Board of Governors in doing that if we can point to specific things that we've done that would enable us to achieve a higher rate of growth than what we're projecting this year.
How appropriate would it be to stick with these numbers? But, you know, I think we all have talked about some things that we have potentially happening in Jupiter, you know, down on Boca campus that could, I mean, blow away 4%. But pull some of the governors aside and say, you know, listen, you know, we don't want to give you numbers that aren't correct, but we think we can do much better than this. But because I'm just concerned that something happens in that next 12 months where funding starts to get skewed in a way we don't want it to be skewed. You know, like, you know, it's already happened this year. And I don't know that it could happen that fast. But I just really want to make sure that we're still in a position that they look at us as one of the research universities.
Bob, I agree with you wholeheartedly. I think that that we need to be very cognizant of that. I think that will have more value in saying it to the governors offline. if we included the fact that we have revised our strategic plan and we have a pathway to accomplishing that goal.
I mean, at this point, Trustee Stille, if the bill grant hits, we will far exceed 4%.
You're no kidding.
But it's not a guarantee at this point. I know Dr. Newcomer is very hopeful. We all are. But given the vagaries of NIH right now,
I'm thinking along the same lines as Trustee Barber that, you know, if you're data-driven like the Boggs template is, our past performance in numbers that we have given over the past 5 years shows a very stable $24-25 million in sponsored research expenditures. To suddenly propose that we're going to make a big change in that when we're just getting our feet underneath us with the new strategic plan doesn't make a whole lot of sense. I prefer to exceed expectations this year, then with the new strategic plan, now project some data points that, you know, next year are not just projecting 4-5% growth.
But can we affect that growth by key hires, though, too?
That's the plan.
Yes.
Most definitely.
And, Trustee Stille, some of the points you're raising here, they most definitely can be addressed in detail with key members of the Board of Governors. But Dr. Kelly can also talk about them more broadly. When he does a presentation in June on this plan. So, you know, at that time, he would certainly be appropriate, in fact, expected to tell the Board of Governors, since he just met with them a couple months ago, that he is undertaking a strategic plan review process for the entire university. There are certain key elements in that process, and certainly enhancing our research activity is one of them. And I think that that's something that he can talk about, the focus that that he and the university are placing in this area, so that the board knows that it is top of mind for the university. While we are nevertheless projecting some conservative projections for purposes of this plan, but that it is a key item for him and his administration and the university and the Board of Trustees going forward. And that way, we do get out there publicly, and we supplement it in one-on-one conversation, that we are very much committed to enhancing our research activity overall.
And if, Bob, if we were to hire this guy that we're trying to get tomorrow, he alone brings $1.7 million to that bottom line. So, you know, immediately, that you're right, the critical thing is to hire people that are funded, and are successful getting funding, and then that number will move very fast.
Exactly. And I want you to understand. I want us to make the step to be, you know, the research university in South Florida, and I don't want anything over a 12-month period up in Tallahassee to put us in jeopardy. So we just need to make the moves quickly and put our flag in the ground.
I promise you we'll do that.
For sure.
Okay.
Dr. Perry, keep going.
Yes.
If you've got any more.
Yeah, I would really just continue on page 12. I think the copy you had, looking at national rank, third from the bottom, you have an XXFX in your copy. We have now got some numbers there. The original number, 239 for 12-13, was provided us to the Board of Governors, provided to us by the Board of Governors staff. We couldn't find out where they came up with that number. So Dorothy Russell has just projected that we will change that by one point as we go forward. I think it's a minor issue at this point. The only other change, I just rather than going through all of these numbers, I'm sure you've been looking at them, is undergraduate resident tuition. The summary on page 15 at the top. I can't remember the copy that was sent out, but we went around with the Board of Governors staff on this, and the number that should be in fiscal year 2013 2013-14 under percent increase should be 1.2%. I don't know whether, Dorothy, if you want to address that. I think this was something that we argued with us, the vote staff on.
That really just relates to last year's CPI adjustment of the rate per credit hour going up by 1.75. That was legislatively mandated. And so while we did not make that increase or put that increase in the student cost, we waived that particular fee from the board's perspective. We need to reflect that change. So we made the change, and now it reflects what the board is expecting us to do.
So I would venture, given the time, a lot of the remaining information is fiscal information, it's the bookkeeping. Ms. Russell presented much of this to you at the last Board of Trustees meeting. We've now just put this into the document. I think the rest of the numbers speak for themselves. The question is, do you have questions about them? If not, then, trustees, I move for approval of the Florida Atlantic University's 2014-15 work plan to be taken to the full Board of Trustees next week.
Gary, you are requesting.
Well, I'm requesting, that is correct. What did I say?
Move.
Oh, no, I don't do things very well.
Looking for a motion?
So moved.
Looking for a second? So moved and seconded. Any questions or comments? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. So approved. Thank you, Dr. Perry. Thank you, everybody else.
Thank you, trustees.
Thank you.
I think without for anything else on the agenda, unless anyone has anything, I'll look for a motion to adjourn.
So moved. Motion made.
Second? Is there a second? Sorry, I'm not seconding. All right, thank you all very much for your time. Dr. Perry and all, thank you. Dr. Kelly, Anthony, thank you everybody in the room.
Thank you.
We hope to see you all tomorrow.
Yeah.
Okay, bye.